My guest at this time is Cleta Mitchell. She is a partner in the Washington law firm of Foley & Lardner, and she is the attorney for many different grassroots organizations alleging over-scrutiny by the Internal Revenue Service. Many of those were conservative or Tea Party organizations. She is also the counsel for the group True the Vote, and we'll talk about the significance of that in just a moment. But the story today centers around the decision by the House Oversight Committee to hold Lois Lerner in contempt. She was at one time the director of exempt organizations at the Internal Revenue Service. She has twice refused to testify before Congress, even though she did offer an opening statement at her first appearance before the committee. And that got South Carolina Congressman Trey Gowdy pretty fired up as they debated whether to hold Lerner in contempt.
Mr. Chairman, I counted 17 separate factual assertions by Ms. Lerner, not those three little sentences that my colleagues like to cite. 17 separate factual assertions. That is a lot of talking for somebody who wants to remain silent.
So on Wednesday, Cleta, it was the House Ways and Means Committee that referred the case to the Justice Department. Now the House Oversight Committee holding her in contempt. What's the significance of those two decisions?
Well, look, I mean, ultimately, it's a step closer to trying to hold her accountable for potential violations of both criminal and civil federal statutes. And it's time that that happened. I mean, the thing that we all have to focus on is that the IRS did not turn over Lois Lerner's emails until about 4 weeks ago, just barely a month ago. That's 10 months into an investigation where the central figure in the controversy has not had her emails and communications scrutinized. And until just the last 3 to 4 weeks. And, of course, what they're finding, what they found, is an amazing amount of information that should have been turned over last May and wasn't. And what they found is that she was indeed actively involved in targeting and targeting towards specific organizations. The one yesterday that the Ways and Means Committee revealed specific information about was the American Crossroads Organization founded by Karl Rove. Well, whether you agree or disagree with what Karl Rove's organization has done, I certainly don't think that anybody thinks it's a good idea for the head of the IRS Exempt Organizations Unit to be conspiring to figure out how to deprive the organization of its right to fair consideration and not be pulled out of the pack and subjected to this specialized scrutiny from people who disagree with what she's doing or what the organization is doing. And that's what the emails that have shown that have just been released in the last several weeks. Then on the other hand, we have the situation where also the House Oversight Committee found that Elijah Cummings and his staff were communicating with Lois Lerner and her subordinates to target True the Vote, my client. And this is after Elijah Cummings said that he had absolutely done nothing of the sort. Well, yes, he did do that. And you look at what Elijah Cummings' staff told Lois Lerner and her staff that they being Elijah Cummings' staff, had opened an investigation into True the Vote. Well, let's think about that for a minute. They have no authority to investigate True the Vote. The jurisdiction of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee is federal agencies. It isn't private organizations that have really had no interaction with the federal government other than to file for exempt status. And Representative Cummings then proceeded to send three separate, exhaustive, burdensome, intrusive, oppressive letters to True the Vote, demanding all kinds of information, which, curiously enough, mirrored the questions that the IRS had propounded to True the Vote a few months earlier. The only problem with that is that set of questions and True the Vote's responses are not public documents, and they should have had no access to those documents. So we don't know if the IRS turned those over to the Cummings staff or not, but it does seem sort of odd that they would be asking the identical questions.
So do you have any idea what documents specifically were shared between the Exempt Organizations Unit and Cummings staff?
We don't. All we know, all we see are the emails. We don't know what documents were provided, and that's one of the reasons we filed on behalf of True the Vote. We filed on February 6th a complaint with the Office of Congressional Ethics, demanding, requesting that the Office of Congressional Ethics, that has jurisdiction to review allegations of impropriety by House members and House staff, and we asked them to please conduct an investigation. And today we filed a supplement to that earlier request for investigation, in which we ask again. We said, look at this material, that these emails back and forth between the IRS and Cummings staff, and we're asking again that you please conduct an investigation, because the Office of Congressional Ethics can interview members of the House and the staff. The OCE can get the emails and the documents from a congressional office. And we are asking that they do that, because we want to know what this office, what this member and his staff did as it related to True the Vote and its principals, Catherine Engelbrecht and her family.
Is True the Vote alone here, or do you think this goes deeper than them?
Oh, I think it absolutely goes deeper than that. I mean, but look, you know, let's not forget where this IRS scandal began. People say, oh, well, you're looking for a smoking gun, and there's no smoking gun. Yeah, there's a smoking gun. It's right out. There are about a dozen smoking guns that are just laying all over the streets of Washington, D.C., because you had the President of the United States going around the country giving speeches attacking private citizens groups, one of them by name, Americans for Prosperity, and demanding that something be done about them. And why should something be done about them? Because they disagree with him. And then you had 31 House members and a dozen senators, nine senators, Democratic senators, all Democrats, writing to the IRS, demanding that the IRS, quote, do something to crack down on these conservative groups. Now, you have politicians demanding that the IRS use its power and authority over the American people to be able to target and carry out the wishes of these Democratic politicians. Now, what the IRS managers, commissioner and head of exempt organizations, Lois Lerner, all those managers, what they should have said is they should have stood up and they should have said, we are not allowed by law to play partisan and party politics. We can't take sides. That's why we are career employees. We're not political appointees. We are career employees. We are prohibited from engaging in political activity, and we are going to do our jobs and follow our procedures, and we're not going to do the bidding of the Democratic Party. But that isn't what they did. They did just the opposite. And I think that's the thing that should take everybody's breath away.
We're talking with Cleta Mitchell, partner in Foley and Lardner, attorney for many grassroots organizations alleging over-scrutiny by the Internal Revenue Service. Cleta, the last time we talked was right after your testimony on Capitol Hill,
right,
in which you explained in great detail that you don't believe there really is a legitimate Justice Department investigation into this scandal. As we mentioned, the Ways and Means vote essentially referred this case, and specifically Lerner, over to the Justice Department. Do you have any confidence that's going to go anywhere over there?
Well, that's going to be very interesting, because it's funny. After I testified, of course, and said that they weren't conducting a real investigation because they hadn't talked to anybody who was victimized by the IRS, and they hadn't talked to me or any of my clients or anybody else, then they called me. And so I have talked to the Justice Department a couple of times since then. And they contend, you know, say, oh, yes, we're really conducting a real investigation. Well, we'll see. We'll see if they are, because what the Ways and Means Committee did yesterday in outlining all of the potential criminal acts of Lois Lerner is they handed it to the investigators on a silver platter. Now, presumably, the DOJ investigators have had access to Lois Lerner's emails since day one. Have they looked at all of this? Have they done anything with any of this? I mean, that's going to be very interesting, because so far Eric Holder has been the most political attorney general probably in the history of the United States, and sees his job not as the chief law enforcement officer, but as the chief consigliere for the Obama administration's philosophical agenda. And I find that pretty frightening, but it just seems to be. So we'll see whether there's a shred of integrity left in the Department of Justice. We'll see.
Cleta, we'll be following, and we'll hope to check back in with you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Cleta Mitchell is a partner in the office of in the law firm of Foley and Lardner. She's attorney for many grassroots organizations affected by over scrutiny by the IRS. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.